The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You may be familiar with these solas of the Reformation: grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, and of course, Christ alone, the one that ties it all together. These aren't just a banner for the Reformation. They are, in fact, also a way of reading the scriptures. Without them, you can go terribly astray. Joining us to talk about the solas of the Reformation, Pastor Matthew Worm. He's pastor of Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brookings, South Dakota, and he's author of a recent Lutheran Witness article titled Fundamental Foundation. Pastor Worm, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you doing today? It's good to be on the show.
Tell us a little bit about these weekly meetings that you have with pastors of all theological stripes sitting around a biblical text. What is that sometimes like?
Well, to be quite honest with you, it sometimes makes me want to have a drink early in the morning when I'm done visiting with these other pastors, because I'm just wringing my hands, pulling my hair out, thinking, how in the world did they come up with that sort of interpretation from the text that lies before all of us? Sort of an interesting story is I'm back at the congregation that I vicared at. And when I was a vicar here, we used to gather together just LCMS pastors and do a text study. But in the meantime, this other sort of ecumenical text study came about, and I thought, well, it'd be interesting, and I'd go to it. And it's definitely a challenge each week. I think one of the insights that I take away from it is I get a glimpse into the understanding of what the hearers and the pews of these other Episcopalian and Methodist and ELCA and Baptist congregations around are hearing. And it provides me, I think, a more unique understanding on how to more clearly proclaim God's law and His gospel, I think, more clearly to my hearers who are, you know, sometimes swimming in the evangelical and kind of modern liberal interpretation of Scripture world out there.
So you get to see how these other confessions of faith are reading the Bible, how their people are hearing the Bible preached, and does it highlight for you the dangers of kind of stepping into, dipping your toes into Scripture without a, as you would call it, a firm foundation on how the Bible ought to be read?
Yeah, it certainly does. For a number of weeks, I'd come back and I'd just be, you know, frustrated. And I gathered together with a couple other LCMS pastors in it too. And then I voiced my frustrations to them and so forth, because I'm sort of new to this group. I've only been doing it for maybe a year now. So I decided to just sit and listen and not sort of let my emotions fly up and say something that maybe I shouldn't say. I noticed a marked difference in when LCMS guys were leading the discussion and then these other, various Christian denominations were leading the discussion. Very, very rarely, and I mean like less than 5% of the time, was ever sin and forgiveness spoken about in the text and in the study and in the suggestions of the sermonizing. When the Episcopalian or Methodist or ELCA pastors, it was virtually all the time talking about how we can change people's lives, how this text, you know, for the Methodist background, how this text can improve the godliness of their hearers and so forth. For the Episcopalian is how can this be all-inclusive of all the members and all the people of God throughout the whole church and all the people of the world and so forth. And rarely did I ever hear anything about sin, the need for forgiveness. I remember one time where I think I was leading the discussion and I just made the simple point, well, you know, that all of Scripture points to Christ. And one of my ELCA brothers there was actually my elder, former 7X grad by, kind of interesting that he is that. And he said to me, well, no, not all of Scripture does. And I'm like, well, wow, we are fundamentally universes apart here in our interpretation of Scripture.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the, I guess, maybe communicators might call them presuppositions that we ought to approach the Bible with, but we simply know them as the solas of the Reformation. What are they? Why are they not only good guides for how to approach the Bible and preach the Bible, but actually, in fact, we would say the way the Bible ought to be read?
Yeah, you know, I love the official seal of the LCMS, and I haven't seen the New Lutheran Witness article. I don't know if it has that image in there. I think they had it in their State of the Synod last year or something like that. And on the seal of the LCMS, it says, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, and in the middle in Latin, Jesus Christ is Lord. And those three principles, the fundamental principles of interpretation of Scripture, just keep us grounded. I mean, grace alone, it's not by our works. It's not the level of your sanctification, not the amount of the good things that you do that saves you and forgives you your sins, but solely by God's grace, because we're a sack of maggots. We got nothing good in us. We're roadkill along the side of the road, but His grace comes to us and touches us in the waters of baptism and raises us right back up through faith, not our actions, but it's the faith that is granted to us. We confess that in our explanation of the creed, that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord. I believe that I cannot believe is in essence what we're saying, and so that faith comes to us. It's a gift that is put upon us, and not by our own means whatsoever, or our own understanding, our own ideas, but solely through God in Christ Jesus, by means of Scripture and the sacraments that flow from the authority of Scripture that grant us all these gifts, the firm foundation on which the Church is built. Sort of maybe an interesting aside to that, I was a pastor up in northern Minnesota before I came here to Brookings, and I was just not even a pastor for like a year or something like that, and the ELCA just voted at their churchwide assembly in August of 2009 to sort of, go the way of the world and approve gay marriage even of their pastors and so forth, and went to the ministerium meeting, which I don't typically go to all that often, just wanted to hear what the report was from the ELCA delegate, and it was a female pastor, and she came back, and, the rest of us were, there's a Catholic priest there, there are a couple different Baptist congregations and so forth that were represented, and we asked, those of us who, still believe Scripture for the most part, said, well, how'd you get to this point? And she said, well, it's our principles of interpretation. And our principles of interpretation can change over time. And I'm just thinking, how? What? But you're Lutheran. And she said, well, our current principles of interpretation are, as we adjust this teaching and doctrine, we see how it changes people's lives. And if it changes them positively, we might change it. We look at current popular scholarly opinion and research on the matter. And we take that into consideration, and we vote on it, as we did in our churchwide assembly. And then the fourth one, sort of as a caveat, was, and we consider God's word in our interpretation of Scripture.
Fourth and final, yeah.
Yeah, and I said to her, did you not see the steeple, the cross on top of the steeple? I think it was at Trinity Lutheran Church right next to, right downtown in Minneapolis, St. Paul, right next to the convention house where they passed this resolution to go the way of the world and even allow their pastors who are homosexual to marry. The storm blew the cross on the top of the church right over, and the first service that was held in that sanctuary underneath the sign of the upside-down cross was a service of celebration for passing this vote. And I say, do you not see, God's objection to the way you're going here? And she said, well, that was... the sun came out after the storm, and that was God's grace.
Well, that's an interesting story. maybe the Bible is a dangerous thing in the wrong hands, or at least in the hands of those who don't hold to sola scriptura. We'll talk about that with Pastor Matthew Worm after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the solas of the Reformation as we read our Bible. Pastor Matthew Worm is our guest. Matthew, it sounds like what you were saying before the break is that the Scriptures can be, they can be a dangerous thing if they are but one among several sources of authority. So why is it so important that Scripture alone be our guide, our authority, our source?
Yeah, you know, as our maxim is Scripture interprets Scripture, that's what Jesus used to explain Scripture. He used Old Testament Scripture to explain. St. Paul does the same in his epistles, is always referencing Old Testament Scripture all over the place. And so we have this beautiful example of how, you know, Scripture gives more light to Scripture and interprets it and so forth, that we shouldn't bring any other kind of interpretation, like people's lives are changed, scholarly opinion, some smart guys that are, you know, too smart for their own good, or a vote, or what have you. It keeps that Scripture, its body of information and how it works and what it points to, namely Christ, all together in a very cohesive manner that you can understand, and then you're not confused about it, and it's not dangerous. I grew up playing. I think in my article I reference, if you ever played a sport or honed a craft or skill, you know that you always have to go back to the fundamentals of it to get it right. And, you know, one of the fundamentals of playing hockey, I grew up playing hockey, was you had to know how to skate. And, you know, I've got cut in the neck by my ice skates or by someone else's skate. They're dangerous if you don't, you know, guard yourself right. Or the same with a stick. The stick can be used wonderfully for offensive purposes and defensive purposes, but if the stick isn't used right, it can, you know, cut a guy and break an arm or, do some other damage. And, you know, the same with God's Word. If it's not used properly, boy, it can do some devastating harm. And so you got to go back to the fundamentals and the rules of interpretation, sort of the historic rules of the game. Scripture interprets Scripture. And you'll be set and well handled to use God's Word and to hear it too.
And you also mentioned that, and this is so important in a time when a lot of churches will still have the plaque with the solas up there, but it's pretty much just decoration. The substance of it has been lost because perhaps decades before they've gone the way that you mentioned there with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America of departing from the confessions. You mentioned the Lutheran confessions in your article. What are they and why are they of a piece with those solas as we approach Holy Scripture?
You know, I think anyone who is a student of history, if they're not a student of history, you should be a student of history because then it can give you understanding of what's going on now and warn you of the dangers of the past so you can see the dangers of the future. But all throughout history, there are these philosophical and societal sways that push nationalities, countries, and so forth in one direction and one type of thought or the other and so forth. And so if you imagine like any, you know, large institution being a ship, right? You're out there in the seas of culture and of societal change, and the waves and the winds of all that change push the ship, push the institution this way and that way. And boy, things are changing fast these days, being such a global and local world with the advent of the internet and social media and so forth. I mean, the church is getting rocked all over the place. And so if you think of our church, like the LCMS, right, as being the ship out in culture that's being pushed around by all sorts of dangers, where are we anchored? You know, the middle of the LCMS seal says Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our rock. He is our foundation. Peter's confession, Jesus, just this last Sunday, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? And so that's our confession. And what the Lutheran confessions house in the Book of Concord are, I like to explain it as this anchor chain that holds us fast to the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the only way to heaven, the only way to salvation, the only one who can forgive and make atonement for our sins. And amid the storms of whatever life brings at you, whether it be rationalism, post-modernity, whatever we're in these days and so forth, our confessions hold us like an anchor and a chain to Christ and his confession, no matter where we get blown out in the midst of the world.
Pastor Matthew Worm is pastor of Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brookings, South Dakota, and he has written an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fundamental Foundation. Pastor Worm, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Todd. It was a pleasure.